Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, thank you for tuning in and catching our drift this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Thank you very much. Yeah, beautiful Saturday afternoon, and thank you for saying our. It makes me feel loved.
Well, sure, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got a good show. Lots to cover today. Nothing that I'm married to. So as callers, if you have something you want to bring up, 734-822-1600, you are more than welcome to bring it up. And because it's your show as well as ours. What we do is cover the news from the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com. All week long, I put up stories there for you to peruse and stay informed. And on Saturdays, we discuss it.
Allows one to cut through the internet chatter to get the news you need to know.
Well said.
All right.
Well said. Let's take care of our sponsor this half hour, Pawn to You. Now, the collateralized business and personal loan market is a good market to get into when the economy is tight like it is right now. Money's tight. If you want to expand your business, you have an emergency, something going on, Pawn to You can take care of those collateralized personal and business loans, which uses your valuables from your home or business to get you some immediate cash. Duration of these loans can be flexible, and you can go to pawnloans@yahoo.com for more information, or you can visit the website at www.pawn2you.com. That's pawn2you.com. So a good way to, and your privacy is guaranteed, so it's a good way to take care of those emergencies, or if you're trying to get your small business up and running and you need to get a little cash inflow, it's the way to go.
Well, if you live in Washtenaw County, can't you get a – isn't the Washtenaw County Commission forming a bank?
Oddly, you should say that, yes. Well, we had Dan Smith on not too long ago talking about Washtenaw County Commission authorizing or talking about authorizing some – another outrage. If we get it deep into the weeds on that one, we'll have Commissioner Smith calling in on us, too.
Yeah, forget the exact details, but essentially, if you were kind of a down-and-out loser and not a citizen, you could get a loan.
Yeah, you had to be turned down twice by a regular bank in order to qualify for a Washtenaw County Commission loan, I guess, small business loan. Or you can go to pawntoyou.com and get it squared away. Much easier and far less paperwork and good people to work with down there. So.
Hey, it'll be money well spent by the taxpayer and maybe Mary Sue Coleman when she stops. Well, I won't accuse her of anything. She can be the administrator of it.
You know, it's funny.
I love you.
We're talking
about the loan.
I'm not offended by her if she was drinking. I'm not saying she was. It could have been any number of reasons that you would talk wonky like that, I guess. But
I'm offended by the cover-up.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't bother me a bit. That's why I like. I always get a chuckle listening to Matt's show, so I'm kind of glad I get a chance to listen to it when I come into the station for this show, you know. But lots to cover this week. And, of course, as tired as I am of Obamacare, it just keeps coming back like a bad penny over and over. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse.
Hey, what are you complaining about? 26,000 signed up.
Yeah. Well, what did they hit? They hit 106.
Well, that includes the state exchanges, so yes. I don't consider that, healthcare.gov.
Yeah, and the question, I heard part of this on Theron's show, too. If those people, because they're counting people who have not paid, and they're counting, I think they said they were counting people who hadn't chosen a plan yet either. They had just enrolled, given their sign-up
information. They typed their name in.
Yeah, they type their name in, basically, and that counts. I don't know on what scale you can count that as an enrollee. They haven't paid their bill. They haven't chosen a plan. We don't know if they're real or not. We don't know if they're legal aliens or illegal aliens or an honest American citizen. What the heck could possibly be happening?
Yeah, so you are questioning the proper accounting of the count. It could be much less than $100,000 overall if you include the state exchanges, and much less than $26,000 if you're just looking at the federal exchange.
Right.
So
right.
Joe Bloke. So you could put in Felix the Cat, and that counts.
Right.
It could be a bogus sign up.
Well, this week the House, I think maybe just yesterday, passed their version of how to fix this Obamacare fix, and we'll get into Obama's craziness later on in the show. But joining us online, one congressman from the 7th District, Tim Walberg. Tim, welcome to the show.
Gary, good to be on the show.
Tim, great to have you. It couldn't be better timing for you to contact me, so I'm glad you did. What happened? Was it yesterday you guys passed in the House your fix for Obamacare?
Well, it's not a fix for Obamacare. It's really doing what the president promised all along for the past 3 years. All the leaders of the Democrat Party promised that. Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer just recently, in fact, being up here in Michigan in Dexter, campaigning for my opponent, said the same thing, that if you like your insurance, you can keep it. That's not true. So the president finally, when push came to shove and got up to Michigan, introduced a bill to keep that promise and simply say, though we can't put the genie back in the bottle, we can say, if you haven't been canceled yet, then you may be down the road. We don't know that, but if you aren't canceled yet, you can keep your insurance. You can't be canceled. And insurance companies can restore to people the insurance that they did have under the same benefits, because the president said that. That was what he promised. That's what this was sold upon. And in fact, we found that it's not true at all.
Now, what's your feeling, Tim, on this getting to the Senate and actually being passed? I know Obama's already said he would veto it, right?
Well, it's interesting that the president says he's going to veto it. He's done the same thing by administrative action. At least that's what he's called it. We don't believe that he has the privilege, the right, or the power to do an administrative action change of this law. He did that on the employer mandate. Clearly, he doesn't have a chance to change the law. That's the responsibility of Congress to make, to amend laws. It's not the president. The president carries it out. The president recommends. But the president does not make law. This president, for some reason, thinks that he is king or whatever and can simply change the law. And so when the pressure came on him as a result of Democrats starting to flee the ship, because of broken promises, because of the terrible rollout of the website and all of the rest, and please, I'll encourage your listeners, don't forget that those are just the minor things. The major problem is the product itself, and that's Obamacare. But when he saw the problems and the Democrats were coming to him and saying, hey, listen, Mr. President, we're going to embarrass you. We're going to work with the Republicans on this one to restore what the people had. If you don't, he came up with this proposal. Now he says, I'm going to veto it if it passes the House. I don't get that. It's clearly political. Frankly, we're hoping that the Democrats, especially those six that are on the hot seat, at least like Mary Landrieu, who's offered her own bill, which is a mandate, which has no time limit, and which probably very easily will be shown to be unconstitutional, may join the Republicans' plan because, frankly, she wants to keep her job.
Yeah. You know, it hit us, Tim, in the last couple of weeks, the last couple of shows, we were talking about the hypocrisy of Obama because he made the Republicans and you guys look terrible for simply asking for a delay, which was your compromise to just saying we don't want it at all. Let's just delay it for a year. And then he turns around and basically delays it for a year. Doesn't he owe you an apology?
Well, he certainly does, but more importantly, he owes the American people apology. He promised them for 3 solid years, up until last week, that if they like their insurance, they can keep it. That is clearly not true. When we attempted during the shutdown of government that went on because the president and the Senate leadership wanted to see the government shut down for political reasons and would not negotiate, we offered several bills that had a delay, a simple delay of a year, for the individual mandate as well as the employer mandate. They refused to even move that bill forward or those bills forward, ridiculed us for doing that. And now here they are with the president himself offering an administrative change by rule of a delay. And so I hope the American people wake up to the fact that what you see with Obamacare is what Nancy Pelosi said, that once it's passed, we'll begin to find out what's in it. and we are finding out what's in it. It is a terrible thing for the United States. It takes away freedom, it takes away choice, it takes away opportunity, and frankly, for 5 million people, it's taken away their insurance plans.
Right, because... Well, go ahead, Drake.
I was just going to say, Tim, you make a really good point that we haven't even really got to the meat of the matter, which is the health plan itself, because the website is such a total disaster that that's the focus of the voters and Congress and everything else. We haven't even, because of that, we haven't even reached the point of the real disaster that is looming once the website is fixed, because I believe that sooner or later, one way or another, whether it's scrapped and we start over or it's patched up, that we'll get beyond this. And, you know, all the turmoil it leaves in its wake, granted. But the real health care plan, Obamacare, hasn't even hit yet. And that's the real point, right?
That is the real point. And I hope you continue to make that point with your listeners over the next number of weeks, that that we shouldn't take our eye off the ball and get caught up looking at the shiny marble, which is the website problems. And now the promise that if you lack insurance, you can keep it. The issue is still the product, and Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, has changed so many names. It is the problem, and it will not work. It will melt down. Now, a few people, and you'll hear those testimonies, a few people will get insurance that they didn't have before. But the rest of us will be put in a much more difficult situation, and people will be losing jobs or going to part-time status because employers... who employ these people and give them the opportunity to purchase insurance will no longer be able to do that because of the high cost of Obamacare to them. So for the few people that are going to have a better product, and we wish them well, we would not want them to not have a good product, but I think there's a better way to do that, and that's a patient-centered approach which expands the playing field, which gives competition in 50 states instead of one state, which encourages things like health savings accounts, gives the opportunity for associated health plans for small businesses, people to make their own choices, and then deal with frivolous lawsuits, and in the end, give the states like Michigan the opportunity for greater latitude in developing a high-risk pool that we all kick a few bucks into to take care of those truly needy people who cannot get insurance for whatever reason on their own. And for that problem, we've done an entire change of our healthcare system, put it under government's control, and taken control of 1/6 of the national economy in a program that ultimately will fail.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tim, that you had mentioned two things there that never were even addressed by Obamacare, and that's A, the tort reform, and B, being able to buy insurance across state lines. I mean, those two things, if they had been passed just alone, probably would have made all that much more sense and done a way better job than what Obamacare even attempted to do. Why weren't those two common sense approaches even brought up in Obamacare?
Barack Obama and the Democrat Party have given their lifeblood and their soul to trial lawyers. I'm not talking about lawyers that go to trial. I'm talking about the Trial Lawyers Association that make money off of more lawsuits, more frivolous lawsuits, more suits that... even if they lose, they end up winning because they get their payment, even though the client doesn't necessarily get his or her payment. And that's been the process for so long. That's what pushed back in Michigan when we did our tort reform that put a cap on non-economic damages almost 20 years ago. The cry came out from the Trial Lawyers Association that this was going to ruin the opportunity for people to have meaningful malpractice suits and liability suits. No, it hasn't. It's just taken away a large number of the frivolous lawsuits where attorneys would go for 33% of the take. They'd make the profit. The poor client would end up with very little anyway. So those are issues that Obama will not address and the Democrat leadership will not address because, frankly, those are their key points of their party.
Right. Well, that brings something up, too, and Drake and I were talking about it. We loved the way, after Obama shut you down and the Senate shut you guys down on the budget, that you went after one item at a time, passed it, and sent it to the Senate. And, of course, they didn't pass it, wouldn't even look at it most of the time. What's the chance of getting a bill passed that says you got to take items one at a time? You can't do – I'm not a big fan of comprehensive anything. You know, not comprehensive immigration reform, not comprehensive health care reform, none of that. I don't want to know about that.
You mean you don't want to pass it and then read it?
Exactly.
You have no idea what's in this stuff, right? 2,000 pages, this kind of crap, and it goes through. It has stuff that's totally unrelated to the initial intent of the bill.
Because it lends itself
and
to
all
pork,
right,
Tim?
Yeah, the pork and all that crap. And then it's just, you know, it's just rubber stamped, right? Because nobody can read all this stuff.
What's the feeling, Tim, among your peers there in Congress? I mean, hasn't anyone else thought of that comment? Let's just take one thing at a time and deal with it instead of piling on and piling on. All of a sudden, we've got 2,000 pages of crap.
Well, we support that in the House, and since the Republicans gained control of the House again 3 years ago, the rules were put in place that no bill could be a multiple subject bill except for appropriations. And so you've got, you know, the Department of Agriculture or the Department of Defense. There's multiple ideas in there, multiple issues. But on everything else, it has to be a single-issue bill. And every bill has to have the very last section, the constitutional backup section. We have to point to a section of the U.S. Constitution that gives us the right to offer that piece of legislation. So for 3 years now, we have not had comprehensive bills. The bill passed yesterday, for instance, was just one page. I think it was three sentences long on if you like your insurance, you can keep it. The other bills we've dealt with so far have followed that same rule. The Senate doesn't have that, so a bill that comes from the Senate will be a multiple section bill, multiple subject bill at times. But they've passed so few bills over the Senate these past 3 years that we haven't had to deal too much with that problem.
I've got a question for you, Tim. And I'm totally out of the loop, but don't we have a couple of things coming due pretty soon? In January, isn't there supposed to be a budget passed? And then in February, we're going to hit the debt ceiling again?
Yeah, in January, the next continuing resolution will come up because this present continuing resolution that was passed at the end of October sunsets. And so we'll have that battle all over again because the Senate is unwilling to pass a meaningful budget like we passed throughout the history of this country. We have not been able to pass a budget because of the unwillingness of this administration to ultimately show their hand and pass a full-blown budget now for 6 years. That's unconscionable. And more importantly, it's really unconstitutional. So but without the Senate's willingness to do that and willingness to compromise and the president's willingness to lead and negotiate, we've been stuck in the continuing resolution for so many months at a time. And then we come back to it again. So on January 15th, we'll come to the continuing resolution again. On February 7th, we'll come to the debt ceiling hike again. And right now, we are over $17.075 trillion of debt in this country as a result of the last debt ceiling hike with no giving, no compromise, no willingness to cut spending by this president, no willingness to negotiate. And I hope the American people will truly wake up to this issue. And as they go to the polls in November of next year to hopefully change the leadership in the Senate to a Republican leadership that can work with the House, that can be the true loyal opposition to the president, that will have ability to pass budgets and send it to the president. And then if he vetoes it, then it's our responsibility to override his veto or to find another way to negotiate. But right now, it is just a dead sea over in the Senate where everything comes in, but nothing goes out.
And the media isn't really giving any attention to this at all, right? It's almost like all that just went away. It's all Obamacare and the website, and we have another crisis rapidly approaching. It's November 16th today.
Yeah.
And here we go, right? I mean, another couple months, it's going to be total pandemonium again. And I'm just shocked that nobody's really talking about what you just laid out. I don't hear it in the media at all.
Yeah.
Now, the national media are lapdogs for this administration. They will not report the facts. And, you know, even Fox News so often is just a bunch of shouting that goes on with inaccurate or incomplete information. And so the poor American citizen, voter, is left to try to fend for themselves to get the information that's out there. Probably the best way they can find actual information is watch C-SPAN, which is just straight, untainted information because you see it live and uncensored. And programs like this, where you have a chance to spend time on a subject and not just scream at each other, but hear actually what's going on. So I certainly appreciate this opportunity anytime I have that chance. And the opportunity to stand and account for what's going on in Washington, in your government, a government that should be far more limited than what we see in Washington now. We should be spending far more time thinking about what Lansing is doing than what Washington is doing. And that's originally what was planned by our framers and founders.
Right. Tim, talk to us about immigration, because we keep hearing these little stories, and it scares me, because when they start out small, they don't get a lot of attention. I know it's building up. Louis Gutierrez, I think, is one of the representatives, talks about getting amnesty passed before the holidays, their immigration, comprehensive immigration.
Feliz Navidad. What a great Christmas present.
Tell me that's not going to happen, please.
Well, John Boehner came out again this week and said there will be no comprehensive immigration bill. It's going to be a package of bills, one subject at a time. He's committed to that, and I appreciate that very fact. Bob Goodlatte, who chairs Judiciary Committee, has been responsible for this package of bills. He's been working on them initially, starting with the Secure the Border bills, and then looking at things beyond that, how to use our H programs, our guest worker programs, immigrant labor programs like H-2A, H-1B, and the like that aren't working very well at all. And yet we need some of those employees here, but we need to know that when they're here, why they're here, where they're at, and when they go home. Our laws at this point in time are not effective in determining that, and that's what is being worked on with individual bills in the House. And the Senate proposal, which was a comprehensive bill filled with all sorts of garbage and a few good things, will not be taken up in the House.
Right. I mean, all I really want, for me, immigration is build the wall, build a fence, build the moat, whatever it is, put the fence up. That's all I want in immigration reform.
I remember calling into WHAM like 11 years ago, not too long after 9/11, and I said, mark my words, we will still be talking about this, an unprotected border, a decade from now, because of all the obstacles that will come along our way, and then it will not get the attention it deserves, and here we are.
Yeah, I don't understand, Tim. Why is it so difficult to just appropriate money and build the double fence, whatever, with the cameras and the wire? Why is that so difficult for Democrats or liberals or even Republicans to say, let's just agree on one thing. Let's secure the border, because it's not just immigrants coming across that border. They're probably terrorists by the hundreds coming across that border.
At least.
You know, why is that so difficult?
Hey, there's more people coming across that border than signed up for Obamacare.
Well, it
as
is
we
a political
speak.
Issue. And I doubt there are very few citizens in the United States that don't feel positive toward legal immigration. Most of us came that way. My dad came over from Sweden with his parents. I'm glad they did. But they came legally through Ellis Island, signed the documents, spoke our language, lived by our laws, and I'm the beneficiary of that. But there are many people now who see this as the way to change society. This is the way to get special groups that will then vote for them and take over America to change it from what America has been. Remember our president, one thing he did not tell us any misinformation or untruths about, and that was the fact he wanted to do foundational change in this country. We are seeing that happen. And so I think you'll see that battle go on as long as this philosophy of government is in the administrative power that it is in the White House. If we were to change that, then possibly we could do the right thing. We have appropriated the funds to build those walls to secure the border, but many of those dollars haven't even been used yet, even though they've been appropriated. That comes from philosophy. That comes from a unity within a governmental system made by the unity of the voters of saying, this is one thing we will agree upon, and we expect you to secure our borders and our borders, and then we'll listen to other things related to immigration.
Yeah, you need to do that. Tim, I don't know if you can stick around, but I think you've got something else planned.
I've got to take off here, but it's sure good to be on with you, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
There you go. Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District. We'll catch you on the other side and come up with some more stories.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The president getting some pushback after a proposal to change his health care law because of canceled policies.
Insurance executives now have the challenge of fulfilling the president's broken promise, sell back insurance plans to customers who got cancellation notices. A daunting feat, seeing as insurance companies have to answer to state regulators. They can't reinstate customers without the governing body's approval.
Fox's Elizabeth Pran.
A number have already rejected the president's renewal proposal, saying it could raise premiums. The Washington Post reporting the states are split. The White House, however, saying there will be many states to follow the president's orders and the administration stands by the proposal.
Authorities in Florida believe they found the body of a man who fell out of a private plane on Thursday, and a Dallas area man's been sentenced to death for killing his children's babysitter to silence her in a pending rape case against him. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
I'm Laurel Fetterbush, a professional harpist with a Doctor of Musical Arts degree from the University of Michigan. I play the harp at weddings, dinners, and special events all over southeastern Michigan. I've even got a friend for flute and harp duets. You can book me through Rush Entertainment. That's R-U-S-C-H Entertainment. Contact them at 1-800-439-5319 or rushfun@aol.com. Professional harp playing will enhance any event.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back to The Drift. Yours truly, Brandon Drake and Gary Wellings. Gary, welcome back to your show.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Hey, my pleasure. And Derek Stone, of course, our producer, making it all happen and taking your phone calls at 734-822-1600. We'd love to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, good show. Nice to Congressman Tim to call in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's always the voice of reason.
You know, and he's a great guy. Really. If you've never met Tim, you got to get to one of his open house or one of his meetings. He does get around during election year and tries to get out and talk. He's a strong constitutionalist. You know, he's maybe not the supreme Tea Party guy that some people would like, but Tim is he's an honest guy, and he does the best he can with the situation that he's got at hand.
And he could easily have a radio talk show. It just flows along.
Oh, yeah. He's a talker.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. I liked him. He actually keeps, like, a copy of the Constitution with him and stuff when he's a good guy. Let's take care of our sponsor this half hour, H. Lemon Equipment, located at 284 East 6 Mile Road in Whitmore Lake, right off of US 23 and 6 Mile Road. You can go to www.hleman.com. That's AESCHLIMAN.com. Now, if you're looking for the farmer or a gentleman farmer or the hobby farmer, or if you just have a big piece of property and you need a tractor or a lawnmower, this is the place to go. They've got some great deals on tractors and fall clearance right now on lawnmowers. And all these are lawnmowers that can actually have the dumps on the front of them and the lifts and all that good stuff. So Bobcat tractors or Bobcat lawnmowers, Coyote tractors, LS tractors, great place, and they've got financing available. So go up and see Mark and the guys, 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000. H. Lemon Equipment on Old 23, US 23 and 6 Mile Road.
Tell them that Gary and Drake sent you, and they'll treat you right.
That's right. Yeah. Go up and see Mark and the guys, and let them know you heard it here on The Drift.
You know, before we went to break, after we went to break, I was telling you how in 1985 I traveled around Europe, did the backpacking thing, and a great time, and I could probably do a whole show about that. But I took the train from Sweden across the water there into East Germany, through East Berlin into West Berlin. And this is when the wall was still up, of course, 1985. And did a one-day visa thing in East Berlin, which was really something. It was totally different, trust me, from West Berlin. But when I left West Berlin, my Eurail pass wasn't good through East Germany to get back to West Germany proper. So I hitchhiked, and I rode with three Germans that were West German. And we rode across the East German countryside, and we got to the West German frontier. And this is the reason I bring this story up. What I witnessed there to keep people in is what we need on the Mexican border to keep people out. It was several hundred yards of barbed wire. It was probably 40, 50 feet high, and I'm assuming that it was mined. And there were East German guards all over the place. Now, I'm not trying to say that we should become like, East Germany, a satellite of the Soviet Union. But we should implement a security measure for the right reasons in this country. And that is to keep people out that don't belong here, including terrorists, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, MS-13. You name it. There's a lot of people coming through that we're not sure who they are, and that's a very scary thing, especially in a post 9/11 world.
Yeah, and that's the killer, pardon the pun. 9/11, over 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, right?
Yeah,
and
12
and,
years.
And it's still an open border. People
exactly.
are just walking across that border. And they're not just illegals looking for a better life. You know, they're not. These are people who are human trafficking, who are
organized crime.
Organized
gangs.
Crime.
It's just a bounty for them.
Yeah, and they're working with profit. Terrorists to get people across here who don't belong here, who want to hurt us.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that I would want to live in Texas, at least southern Texas or Arizona. You know what I mean?
How scary that would be.
It's amazing.
And here's the thing: you posed the question to Tim. Why can't we do this? Why can't we build the fence? And I just described a fence that I witnessed in East Germany on the West German frontier there. And I'll tell you why. Because there isn't the political will of the American people to be actively involved.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly isn't the political will in our Congress and our current president, of course.
Or our Senate.
And that's why that I don't think it'll ever be done in a proper way. Now, East Germany, there was the political will because there was only one voice.
Right, the voice of the government.
Right, yeah. Which is sad on the one hand because that was to keep people in. when we need a political voice unified to do the right thing to keep people out, it doesn't seem to happen.
Right. And what's odd is, I guess we should just open up the, it's election year, baby. It's less than a year away. We have the opportunity next November to elect a new U.S. senator from the state of Michigan to replace Carl Levin, who is finally, thank goodness, leaving. Thank you, Carl. That's the only thing I'm going to thank you for, is leaving. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a communist in Democratic clothing, and you've screwed this state and this country for years. Thank goodness you're leaving. But we cannot elect somebody like Gary Peters, who will be the Democratic nominee, more than likely, for that position. Gary Peters, as a congressman, does not have the will to close the border down, to build a lousy fence. That's all we're asking for. And Gary Peters and the Democratic Party say no. They do not want to secure the United States border. How clear can that be to an American voter? The Democrats do not want to secure your border. They don't want to secure our country. They are literally putting you and your children at risk by not closing that border.
Yeah, besides Israel, we are probably the number one target in the world for Islamic terrorists. And we have a wide open border. Can you imagine Israel having a wide open border with Lebanon, with Syria, with Jordan, with Egypt? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
They know better.
Yeah.
Why don't we?
And we have the ability. Imagine the jobs created in a two-year program to build that fence line, that wall, whatever. I don't care. Make it out of cement. 30 feet high cement with barbed wire on both sides, whatever. The more money you put into it, the more jobs you're going to have for that period of time to get it done. And I don't care. That's money well spent as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And that's what government's for.
Triple the number of border agents on our southern border. Triple them up. I don't care. That's money well spent. I will never complain about the Border Patrol.
No. No. You know? And, you know, it's really interesting, Gary, because shortly after 9/11, I, you know, was not affiliated with WHAM, but I was a caller into Theron's show. And there was another gentleman, I forget his first name, but his last name was Farrar. And he had a Saturday morning program here at WHAM at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's a great guy. And I called him. And he had this guest on there who was kind of an expert on the border. And they were talking. And this guy was a, you know, pretty well-informed, good guy. And I called in. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, Drake, you're crazy. How could you have said that? But I said this, you know, about 11 years ago. I said, it's going to take time. This is when I was naive enough to think that we actually would put a physical border or a physical barrier on that border to prevent people from getting across like we're describing. But I said, what we have to do, that's a physical deterrent. What we have to do in the meantime, because it'll take time to build that physical barrier, we have to have a psychological deterrent. And the way you do that is you make a no man's land free fire kill zone. And you're going to have to make an example out of some people who are going to test that. And they're going to try to come across. No questions asked. They're shot and killed. Word would spread fast. You don't try to come across that border no matter who you are. If you're a terrorist, if you're a mother with children, you don't do it. That would prevent a lot of people from coming across that border right off the bat. Now, would we be vilified in the world for that? Would we be looked at as insane? Who cares? You know, I'm so tired of world opinion. But of course, I answer my own question, because if we don't have the political will to build a physical barrier after over a decade, but back then I thought we would, we certainly wouldn't have the political will to start shooting people when they come across on site. But like I said, you don't have to make an example out of a few, and then that would be it. In fact, you'd probably save lives in the sense that those that come across that die in the desert
right.
from dehydration,
or
those that are murdered,
slaves.
Americans that are murdered on our side of the border, if you had that in place all along until that physical barrier was put in there, you'd save lives overall,
yeah.
but you'd be vilified in the meantime.
Yeah. Well, there's another option, the ecologically right option. Instead of killing these 43 wolves here in Michigan, right, we build the fence, tooth fence, and in the middle of the fences, we put the wolves. Right?
I love it.
So we put the wolves in between the two
well
fences.
Well played, my friend.
All along.
I like
it. Yeah. Put the wolves in there. We save the wolves. You got to feed them a little occasionally. Yeah. So we throw some sheep or something over the fence to keep the wolves.
You give enough wilderness area in between the two layers of fencing and they can hunt their own.
Yeah. Well, you want to keep them hungry, right?
Oh, that's true.
You want to keep them kind of hungry.
Wolves are always hungry.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You know, so or take some of these wild dogs off the streets instead of euthanizing them.
Detroit's got quite a few.
Yeah, we'll ship them to Texas, put them between the fence lines, so we'll have wild dogs down there.
It almost sounds like an episode of The Simpsons at Mr. Burns' house. It'd be great.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
Yeah. I'm going to get some coffee as if I need it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Wizard of Oz, presented by the Tecumseh Youth Theater, will be Friday, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, November 23rd at 1:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, November 24th at 3 p.m. Tickets $8 for adults, $6 for senior and youth. Tickets can be purchased at the Tecumseh Center for the Arts in person, by phone at 517-423-6617, or online at www.thetca.org. Learn more about the Tecumseh Youth Theater by visiting their website at tecumsehyouththeater.com. The West Oakland County Tea Party will hold its next meeting Thursday, November 21st from 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. at Baker's Restaurant, 2025 South Milford Road in Milford. Featured speaker will be Melanie Curtis. She'll speak about Common Core, the controversial federal standards being imposed on education nationwide. For more information, visit teapartypatriotsofwestoakland.ning.com. Wham! Talk 1600 and the Salvation Army are conducting our 7th annual toy drive. The goal is to collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys for children in need in Washtenaw County. Drop off your toys at our sponsor locations listed on the whamradio.com website. Let's make sure every child has a wonderful Christmas. For more information, call 734-971-1600, extension 23. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thanks for catching our drift on Saturday here at Wham! Talk 1600, 734-822-1600, if you wish to call in with something. I wanted to touch on this Common Core thing. Did you see that video? It was up on the Blaze about the young kid who just schooled the school board talking about Common Core.
I did not.
Okay, it's a long... you know what? It's our show. We can do whatever we want. Derek, I think we're going to play that track. Now, this is a young kid, Ethan Young, pardon the pun, Ethan Young is his name, goes to his school board and wants to talk about Common Core, and he did his homework. Now, a lot of school board members don't do their homework. They just run for these offices. They don't know anything about what they're doing as school board members and make decisions like, well, we're going to institute Common Core in our school district. Well, that's great. Do you know anything about Common Core? No, they don't.
We're going to have standards that you have to meet, and we'll be able to compare ourselves to other states. It'll all be good.
Yeah. So, Derek, let's start this, and I'll stop you. You know, keep an eye on me, and we'll stop it as we go through, because the kid hit some really stellar points here, and I think this is worth listening to. Every school board member in this country should listen to this young gentleman.
In a mere 5 minutes, I hope to provide insightful comments about a variety of educational topics. I sincerely hope you disprove the research I've compiled. Here's the history of the Common Core. In 2009, the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers partnered with Achieve, Inc., a nonprofit that received millions of funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thus, the initiative seemed to spring from states, when in reality it was contrived by an insular group of educational testing executives with only two academic content specialists. Neither specialist approved the final standards, and the English consultant Dr. Sandra Stotsky publicly stated she felt the standards left students with an empty skill set, lacking literary knowledge. While educators and administrators were later included in the validation committee and feedback groups, they did not play a role in the actual drafting of the standards. The product is a, quote, rigorous preparation for career and college, yet many educators agree that rigorous is a buzzword. These standards aren't rigorous, just different, designed for an industrial model of school. Nevertheless, Common Core emerged. Keep in mind the specific standards were never voted upon by Congress, the Department of Education, state or local governments, yet their implementation was approved by 49 states and territories. The president essentially bribed states into implementation via Race to the Top, offering $4.35 billion taxpayer dollars to participating states, $500 million of which went to Tennessee.
Okay, so the key word there, bribery. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Rick Snyder took the money and said, yes, we'll institute Common Core. It's bribery. There is no other word. He hit it right on the head.
You know, this young man that just gave that little speech there, I love the guy. I mean, but here's the thing I thought about. How many parents, just your average, you know, John Q. public, would actually understand what he even said after about the second or third sentence? He was so intellectual. In the sense that our average voter person is just going to like, okay, what's on TV? Yeah. You know, they're not going to be able to relate to that.
Yeah, he brings it down a little bit. Let's keep going, Derek, and we'll get through this because he hits a lot of good points. And
I'm not criticizing him. I'm criticizing those that should be listening and understanding won't.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep going.
And much like No Child Left Behind, the program promises national testing and a one-size-fits-all education because, hey, it worked really well the first time. While I do admire some aspects of the core, such as fewer standards and an emphasis on application and writing, it's not going to fix our academic deficit. If nothing else, these standards are a glowing conflict of interest, and they lack the research they allegedly received. And most importantly, the standards illustrate a mistrust of teachers, something I believe this county has already felt for a while. I've been fortunate to have incredible educators that open my eyes to the joy of learning, and I love them like my family. I respect them entirely, which is why it frustrates me to review the team and APEX evaluation systems. These subjective anxiety producers do more to damage a teacher's self-esteem than you realize. Erroneous evaluation coupled with strategic compensation presents a punitive model that, as a student, is like watching your teacher jump through flaming hoops to earn a score. Have you forgot the nature of a classroom? A teacher cannot be evaluated without his students. Excuse me. Because as a craft, teaching is an interaction. Thus, how can you expect to gauge a teacher's success with no control for students' participation or interest? I stand before you because I care about education, but also because I want to support my teachers. And just as they fought for my academic achievement, so I want to fight for their ability to teach. This relationship is at the heart of instruction, yet there will never be a system by which it is accurately measured. But I want to take a step back. We can argue the details ad infinitum, yet I observe a much broader issue with education today. Standards-based education is ruining the way we teach and learn. Yes, I've already been told by legislators and administrators, Ethan, that's just the way things work. But why? I'm going to answer that question. It's bureaucratic convenience. It works with nuclear reactors. It works with business models. Why can't it work with students? I mean, how convenient calculating exactly who knows what and who needs what. I mean, why don't we just manufacture robots instead of students? They last longer and they always do what they're told. But education is unlike every other bureaucratic institute in our government. The task of teaching is never quantifiable. If everything I learned in high school is a measurable objective, I haven't learned anything. I'd like to repeat that. If everything I learned in high school is a measurable objective, I have not learned anything. Creativity, appreciation, inquisitiveness, these are impossible to scale, but they're the purpose of education. Why our teachers teach, why I choose to learn. And today we find ourselves in a nation that produces workers. Everything is career and college preparation. Somewhere our founding fathers are turning in their graves, pleading, screaming, and trying to say to us that we teach to free minds. We teach to inspire. We teach to equip. The careers will come naturally. I know we're just one city in a huge system that excitedly embraces numbers. But ask any of these teachers, ask any of my peers, and ask yourselves, haven't we gone too far with data?
Okay.
You know what really comes to mind when I hear this young man speak is that his parents were great parents and encouraged him, worked with him. He went into school wanting to learn, and he did. And I'll bet he did a lot of things on his own because he was motivated modeling after his parents.
Right.
And I've always said it starts in the home. It starts with the parents. And I know he's addressing the school system, properly so. But I think we can talk about systems all we want. And if the parents aren't doing their job, I don't care what kind of money you throw at it, what kind of system you design, it's not going to work.
Right. Well, that's what's happened in Detroit. And I've said this for years. You know, if you have no parents, and in most of the homes in Detroit, most of the homes, I'm not incorrect when I say that, most of the homes in Detroit, the school district of Detroit, are single family homes. A mother, no father to be around. You know, probably not even
single parent home.
Single parents, not even paying. Well, yeah, and I don't want to knock single dads because there are good single dads.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
I was a good single dad.
Mm-hmm.
And those single parent homes, there is not that learning, that sphere of influence is gone. It's just gone. It's not there for today's kids.
But, you know, not only Detroit and these bombed out urban areas that, you know, it's so easy to look at that and say it's obvious, right, what's
right.
going on there. But in middle class America, white America, I think the same thing is happening at an alarming rate, and all the excuses are there. The parents are mm-hmm. too tired when they get home from work. They're too busy at work. They don't care. They just want to ship them off to school. That's the teacher's job in their minds.
Right.
So the kid goes in there. He's got kind of a rebellious attitude to begin with because he hasn't learned anything in the home about wanting to learn. So he gets there. Now you've got a teacher that's dealing with this, you know, mentality that's hard to pierce through.
Right. And the problem is we've already depowered the school. We did that 20-odd years ago when we said no more spankings.
Right.
No more corporal
punishment. There's no respect.
So you
no
send
fear,
these kids
no
to
respect.
School. You expect them to do the parent's job, and yet you took the same rights a parent has away from those teachers. Now, next, you know, for me, a lot of people say, Gary, you beat up on the teachers. No, I don't. I beat up on the teachers' unions.
Right.
You know,
you throw
next,
that into the mix, and now it's really a bad
yes.
scenario.
Next to our uniformed men and women who have fought and died for this country, there is no better American than a good, hardworking, decent teacher.
As long as you had the good, hardworking, decent as an
teacher.
Adjective before
yes.
the noun teacher.
Absolutely. One of the most important jobs in the world, teacher.
Absolutely.
And I remember my good teachers. Mr. Menard was one of them. I never forgot that man. I don't even know if he's alive anymore, but he was a good teacher. But we need to get back to letting teachers teach. And Common Core does not do that for teachers. It's an insult to teachers. And teachers, I hope you stand up. If you listen to this, stand up and fight that Common Core.
Well, that might be the final death blow to our society and our culture.
No, we didn't get a call from Ben. Ben, I'll take your call off the air. All right, we'll see you all next week.